It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to a brand new week on Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and today I want to share with you a story from John chapter 14. The night before Jesus is taken away to be crucified, he's offering his disciples a glimpse of what life is going to be like in heaven. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We're living in a generation where people want to believe that there are many ways to God, many pathways to God. But Jesus made it crystal clear here in John 14 that he is the only way to the Father. He is the truth and the life. In order to really understand this passionate word from Christ, you almost need to set the background and understand this address that Jesus is giving to the 11 on the night before he died, offering his disciples a glimpse of him that they would remember for the rest of their lives. As each of them, with the exception of Judas, who would betray him, and John, who was banished to the island of Patmos, each of them would eventually die a martyr's death, having been prepared by Christ for what they would eventually face. Thomas would be speared in India. Peter would be crucified upside down. And on we could go with the story of each of these martyrs. A.W. Pink, one of my favorite writers, said in one of his books regarding this chapter, he said, "He must tread the winepress alone. They could not enter into his feelings, but he, the magnanimous one, could enter into theirs. There was room in his large heart for their sorrows as well as his own. It was the sorrows of their heart which now occupied the great heart of love." Think about that, friend. The disciples, and in a short while, their world was going to collapse into chaos as Jesus is led away to be crucified. And here in chapter 14, they're beginning to experience pain and hurt. They're bewildered by the news that their beloved master, who they were willing to die for, he was leaving them. Now, they had said in John chapter 11 and verse 6, "Let us also go that we may die with him." See, they couldn't imagine life without Christ. The disciples' heart was torn when Christ told them he was going away. And Jesus anticipated their anxiety. And so here in John 14, he begins to comfort them. Martin Luther called this message from Christ in John 14 the best and most comforting sermon preached by Christ while on earth, a jewel and a treasure not purchased with this world's goods. Today we're looking at John 14, 1 through 6, and you're going to see that these verses not only discuss comfort, but they also reveal Christ in all of his glory. Think about this, friend. Any other person who is just hours away from excruciating pain, such as what we saw in the movie The Passion, their mind would be fully focused on their own pain, but not Jesus. Most people would be preoccupied with their self and their own needs, their own pain. But here's Jesus. He had one thing on his mind, comforting his disciples, whom he called his very own, whom he loved dearly. He was completely absorbed with the needs of his 11 disciples. You know, there are times in life when we just need some comfort. There have been times in my life when I just needed someone to be there, when I needed Jesus with skin on. John MacArthur once said this. He said, "The basis of comfort comes from trusting the Lord. If you're discontent, anxious, or worried, it's because you're not trusting Christ." I saw a book the other day that was entitled, "Don't Sweat the Small Stuff," and the subtitle read, "And It's All Small Stuff." trusting in Christ's presence. Jesus begins with these comforting words. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. You know, he leaves that up to us. We are the ones who have to stop our heart from being troubled. Now you say, Keith, what is my heart? Your heart is your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. It's that part of you that resides in your mind. And Jesus could see that his disciples were perplexed and filled with tons of emotions. To them, everything seemed to be falling apart. Their dreams and their goals were unraveling. And the very prospect of Christ dying and leaving them was no doubt terrifying. Jesus could read his disciples' hearts. He knew what they were thinking. He was able to feel their sorrow. I know there are times, friend, when you think nobody, and even God, doesn't have a clue of what you're going through. But I'm here today to remind you and tell you that God knows exactly where you are. He knows what you're facing. But the Bible tells us God knows our needs even before we ask. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 9 said this, "In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old." If you feel like you're at the end of your rope, my friend, I want you to know that God's angel surrounds those that love him. Christ sees too, and he knows what you're going through. In Isaiah 61:1, listen to this mission statement of Jesus. He quoted this one day in Nazareth when he began his ministry in the synagogue. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." See, Jesus came to comfort us. He came to reach us in the middle of our despair and our trouble. Here in John 14, Jesus goes on to say, "Do not let your heart be troubled." So make a decision and take control of your thoughts. Say, "I won't let myself go there." Do not let your hearts be troubled. He goes on and says this, "Trust in God. Trust also in me." This is where we miss it, friend. Jesus gives his disciples something they can hang their hat on. He tells them that they can keep their heart from despair by making a decision to not let their hearts be troubled and then trust in God. Trust also in Jesus. He's saying, you've got to trust me. When I'm going to understand the concept, I always like to look up an English definition of a word. Jesus asked them for their trust. And here's what trust means. I looked it up. It means reliance on the integrity, ability, or character of a person or thing. Wow. If you're going to trust God, you're going to have to rely on his integrity. You're going to have to realize, like Jeremiah says, God says, "I have plans for you, and they're good plans. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Relying upon his integrity, upon his ability, do you know God can do anything as long as you trust him and believe? He can do even in the impossible. And then it's to rely upon his character. You know, we study in the Word, and the Bible is full of scriptures that reveal the character of God. The Bible says he's faithful even unto 1,000 generations. That's faithfulness. I propose to you today that while many of us believe in Christ, it's really something different to put your trust in him. Not just believe, because the Bible says even the demons believe, but to put our trust in him and rely upon him. We usually rely on ourselves. We rely on our abilities or our finances. The apostles already believed him to be the Messiah. That's why they gave up their life to follow him. But he was about to be removed from them. God was going to take him to the cross, to the tomb, and then back to heaven. Now their trust requires some faith, believing and trusting in what they won't be able to see with their eyes. I remember when I was graduating from high school, years ago, back when the crust of the earth was forming, I remember I was so confused about what I should do. Should I go to college? I was already touring. I had a recording contract. I was writing music and traveling around the country. I felt God's call to pastor on my life, and I just didn't know what to do. And I'll never forget, a friend of mine bought me a book, and as a graduation present, and when I opened it up, it had the words from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And they spoke to me into my spirit. And this is what God says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Friend, that's what God wants from you today. He's wanting you to trust Him. He's wanting you to lean on Him and not on your own understanding. See, we want to depend on our understanding. We want to depend on what we think is the best way. But God wants us to trust Him. And then He says, acknowledge Him. He will make your paths straight. Trusting in God also requires us to relinquish the trust in ourselves. You can't just depend on yourself. You have to trust God. God is saying to you today, trust me. When you read the Psalms, there's a consistent theme that I find, especially in the Psalms of David, and that is the theme of refuge. In Psalm 46, he says this in verse 1 through 3. He says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, and there's that word you hear me say so often, stop and see what it's there for. Therefore, we will not fear. You see, when God is your refuge, when you trust Him for His strength in you, you don't have to be afraid. He says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The psalmist trusted in God. In Psalm 27, verse 13, he says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you might be listening to this today and you're saying, Keith, if you only knew what I'm going through. Well, I don't, but I know someone who does. And I'm confident of this. You will still see the goodness of God here in the land of the living. How about that great psalm, Psalm 91, that says, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. A refuge is a safe place to run to in the time of the storm. Are you going through a storm today? I want you to know there's a refuge, and that refuge is found in Jesus Christ. Did you ever just pick up the Bible and open it up and read a verse and it sound like God is speaking directly to you? Well, how about this verse, Isaiah 41 and verse 10. This is for somebody today. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm talking today about trusting in Jesus, relying upon Him and His integrity. You see, friend, we cannot let our relationship with Christ just be an experience that we had at the altar one day. It's got to be a lifelong commitment. It's got to be something that goes on a day-by-day basis where we're trusting in Christ to get us through this life. I'm so glad you joined me today for Fresh Oil. I believe God brought us together, and I believe this word today was meant for you, my friend. I want you to go by the website at weneedgod.com. Write me a note and let me know that you're listening to the program, and that'll mean a lot to me. Join us each weekday right here on this same station as I share with you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My goal each and every day, friend, is to encourage you and let you know that God loves you with an everlasting love. And He sent His word today to minister to you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He He makes His mercies new every morning.